All right, would you turn in your Bible with me this morning to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, I want to ask you to read with me again this morning from verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." All right, now we're going to take up from there in verse 12 in just a moment. We've been studying the fact that the book of Philippians is written by the Apostle Paul, and that the book of Philippians is written teaching the saint to express in his life, work out in your life that truth that is taught in Ephesians. The truth that is taught in Ephesians is the fact of our calling. Our calling is a heavenly calling, and he said, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." So we're to be a heavenly-minded people, as in Colossians chapter 3. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we're to be a heavenly-minded people. So the book of Philippians is written expressing to the saint the fact, and stressing that fact, that that truth of Ephesians, and that has to do with the fact that we're heavenly people, the fact that we're called of God to be one body. There is one body, there is one faith, there is one baptism, so forth and so on, as in Ephesians chapter 4. All right, then we're to live our lives as that truth is lived in us. In other words, we're to live it out in our lives, and the example is, of course, is the Apostle Paul second, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ first. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Well, what about Christ? Well, Jesus Christ was equal with God in that he was a son of God. We are sons of God. But Jesus Christ, being a son of God, made himself of no reputation. We are to make ourselves of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. We are to serve others. And he stresses this in chapter 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. In other words, we are to do that which we do, that others might be built up, they might be strengthened, they might be lifted up, and so forth. Jesus Christ humbled himself. We're to humble ourselves, not boast and brag and make a big deal about ourselves. And on this goes. And he became obedient unto death. We're to die unto self and live as unto Christ. And that truth is very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, God exalted, and really there are seven steps downward for the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are seven steps upward for him. And so Jesus Christ, after being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, has been highly exalted, and so will it be with us. And what we're seeking for is a crown. We're seeking for a prize, and that is the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus, as is expressed in Philippians chapter 3. Now, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's rather fascinating that the attitude that Paul had toward the Philippians compared to that which he had toward the Corinthians. In fact, when he wrote to the Corinthians, just turn back there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he's Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we're present. Now he's rather crude with the Corinthians, but he's soft-spoken with the Philippians. The Corinthians were denominational-minded. They were carnal-minded people, walking in the flesh, fussing and bellyaching and arguing all the time. The Philippians were not so. The Philippians were more organized together in one body. They had a sort of a different love for one another. And so Paul is not as cruel and not as harsh with the Philippians as he was with the Corinthians. And so he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed." And he's not just blunt with them and harsh with them as he was with the Corinthians. But he said, "In my absence now, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, of all the commentaries, I find that none of them really have the passage down. The nearest thing of the commentaries that I have, and I've got Williams and Welch and Bullinger and Ruckman and several others, of all of them, Ruckman is nearer to the truth in the passage. The others are, some of them are way off base. Some of them even change the wording because of the Greek, and they say that what Paul is saying is, work at your own salvation. Welch believes that the salvation here has to do with our bodily salvation. I don't really believe that. There's no possible way that I'm going to work out my salvation, even though that it's God working in me. But that's not the case at all. For instance, in Romans chapter 8, he said that as many as he did foreknow, them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son might be the firstborn among many brethren, and several other things. There is no doubt about it that God Almighty is going to change our vile body and make us like unto his Son, no matter what our walk is in this present life. There's no way that I can get out of the passage that I'm going to effect my salvation by my walk in this life. No way. And yet that's what they make out of the passage. Ruckman comes nearer to the truth than anybody else, and yet Ruckman hadn't got the thing exactly right because he gives bad references. He gives you some references that hasn't anything to do with that which Paul is really talking about in the passage, and I'm not just being critical of Ruckman, although I could, for Ruckman has missed the truth totally and completely when he passed by Ephesians chapter 1. When Ruckman got to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he lost the ball completely. And when he got to chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, he fell completely off his hobby horse and banged his head on something and missed the whole truth there completely and totally. Hence, from there on, the references that he gives generally are not exactly right, and they're not right in this passage. Ruckman's big aim, and I praise God for him along this line, is to stress the truth of the King James Bible. I appreciate that of him. But yet there's something in this passage here that is very significant in view of what Paul has in mind in the whole book. When he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, he's talking about be obedient unto the truth that is already there. In other words, the doctrine that is in the book of Ephesians and in Romans chapter 12, the doctrine of the one body and so forth, is in us. In other words, as we take the word of God in us, we take that doctrine in us, and we're to let that doctrine work out in our lives. Notice, to start with, the Galatians are disobedient under the Apostle Paul. He said, "Wherefore, beloved, as you've always obeyed," well, they did not do so. Go back to Galatians chapter 5 and look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Galatians 5, 7. "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" They were disobedient to the truth that the Apostle Paul preached. Well, what truth did he preach? Well, go back to Philippians chapter 2 Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, and notice verse 25. And having this confidence, that is, that I'm not going to depart and be with the Lord yet, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's what he's saying in chapter 2, verse 12, in effect. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one faith and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Well, the Galatians disobeyed the truth of the gospel. They disobeyed the faith of the gospel. In fact, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul stresses the fact that when he went up to Jerusalem to contend with them about the fact that they were trying to put those men under the law, he said that they wanted to circumcise Titus, but he wouldn't agree to this for 1 hour. He said, no way would I agree to that. He said, for having done so would have been a denial of the truth of the gospel. Well, the truth of the gospel is that we're all in one body by one spirit by believing one gospel. That is, we believe that Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and that he rose again for our justification. And believing that truth, receiving Christ, the Spirit of God has baptized us into one body, so we're all equal in that same body. And yet the Galatians were disobedient unto that truth, as were the Corinthians. And so Paul is harsh with them. Now, you'll find also in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, this fact that they're disobedient. Now he said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then I'm to work out in my life that salvation that is within me. Now let's compare some passages. I know that you're not interested in what the Greek words are, but I might mention unto you that the Greek word in the Textus Receptus in verse 12 for work is a different word than in verse 13 where God works. We're to work out our salvation, but it is not the same work of verse 13. It is God which worketh in you. They're not the same word, and there ain't no need for anybody to get excited with me and upset with me because that I refer back to the fact that the Greek words are different. They are just different, and to say they're both the same is to cover up, as Ruckman did, the truth that is in the passage. All right, to bear out this truth now, I want you to turn with me and compare some passages. I want you to go back to the book of Romans and notice in Romans chapter 7, in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now the word perform in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, is exactly the same word for work out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. In other words, it is clear to me what he's saying. I am to perform out in my life that salvation which is within me. In other words, the doctrine which is within me, that doctrine that I received through the Apostle Paul, having to do with the one body, the high calling and so forth, I'm to perform out in my life. Now the word is used again. Notice in Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, and notice verse 9. Romans 2, 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. The word doeth there is the same thing. In other words, I'm to do in my life, I'm to do in a physical sense that which is true in the inward man. Notice in Romans chapter 7 again. In Romans chapter 7, verse Romans 7, Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. Same word. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Verse 17, now then is more no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Then in verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is more no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The word is the same. Now, to compare and see this truth there that I'm trying to refer to, go back with me, please, to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, notice chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, as Jesus Christ did, with long-suffering, as Jesus Christ was, forbearing one another in love, as Jesus Christ did, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, as Jesus Christ did. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, so forth and so on. Well, I can understand why that Dr. Ruckman would not bring out the truth of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, because Dr. Ruckman is a Baptist. And Dr. Ruckman does not see or believe the truth of the one body as it is spoken of in the Scripture. Now, just because that men today are not drawn together in one body does not change the fact that there is only one body. Just because they're divided into Baptist, Presbyterians, and this and that and the other does not mean that that truth is not to be worked out in the lives of the individual. In other words, that doctrine of the oneness of the body of Christ is to be performed out in our lives from day to day. Then look in Ephesians again, this time in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's exactly what I'm to do in this life. I'm to put on the new man. I'm to put off the old man. And I'm to perform out in my life in front of everybody that which is true in the inward man. And I believe that's really what people are doing today. I believe the doctrine that they have really believed within their heart is being performed in their lives. Notice, please, the thought now, the attitude, the thought, see, that is in this passage in Matthew chapter 5. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew 5, and notice verse 13, Matthew 5:13. He said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I dare not criticize a man for preaching clean living out of the passage. And yet, just clean living doesn't get it. There are Baptists today that don't smoke cigarettes, they don't drink booze, they don't go to the honky-tonk, they don't dance and play cards, and all the things that are preached as sins today, yet they are not working out their salvation in fear and trembling. They are not performing out in this life that which is true in the book of Ephesians. They just aren't. The same thing is true of Methodists and Presbyterians, and for sure Mormons. Why, Mormons are around the world today. I understand that the lifespan of a Mormon is supposed to be longer than anybody in the United States, and he claims to keep the law, and on the thing goes. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying that it's just simple as ABC. In other words, I'm to perform in my life and do in my life the doctrine that I have in my heart, which is there from the book of Ephesians. What is that? That I have a high calling, that calling is in Christ Jesus, and that I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and that I have become one body in Christ with all that believe the same gospel that I do, and that I am to try to live as peaceably with them as I can. I'm to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm to perform out in my life that truth that is expressed by Paul in the book of Ephesians. Now, back in Philippians chapter 2, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, the last part of the verse, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling, that seems to me that it has to do with an attitude. It has to do with a frame of mind. In other words, I'm to fear God. I am to serve God for a crown, and yet it is not just that I expect to receive a crown. I can look on the negative side of that thing. If I do not perform out in my life, if I do not work out my salvation with fear and trembling today, then I can see that which will take place at the judgment seat of Christ as in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that it done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Now God has told the Baptist, the Methodist, and the Presbyterian, and so forth. I'm talking about saved people now. I'm not talking about those people that walk out for Jesus and join the church just to get saved. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about saved, Bible-believing people. God has told them over and over again that there is one body. Paul expressed that truth in the book of Romans, but that isn't all. In the book of Romans, Paul expressed the fact that in Romans chapter 1 through 2 and so forth, that there is no salvation for me in trusting the flesh. He shows me there is no salvation for me in the law. He shows me there is no salvation in religion for me. He shows me in chapter 5 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And on and on. Now, he shows me in Romans chapter 11 that through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles. Well, then I know that the church is not Israel and Israel is not the church. And so he ends up finally in Romans chapter 16 and tells me that I'm to mark them which walk so as they have Paul for an example. Well, Paul expresses the fact of the one body in Romans chapter 12. In fact, he expresses it so strongly that he identifies himself in Romans chapter 12 with the believers in Rome as in one body, even though he's never been to Rome at that time. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that that God has shown these people in Romans, he's shown them in Ephesians, he has expressed it so sternly and sincerely that these people today who are Baptist, Methodists, and Presbyterians are going to know the terror of the Lord when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ for denying the truth that is very obvious in the Scriptures. For a man who believed the Bible meant exactly what it said, as it said it, where it said it. I'm to perform in my life, work out in my life that doctrine that I have received by faith, that doctrine that is laid down through the Apostle Paul. And for me to be a denominational-minded man, I certainly cannot say that I'm doing that. For instance, as an ordained Baptist minister, if I baptize people, I would be dividing the body of Christ, and there ain't no need for a man to argue about it. I would be dividing the body of Christ. I couldn't possibly say that I was performing out in my life that truth of the book of Ephesians, or working out my salvation with fear and trembling, fearing what might happen to me at the judgment seat of Christ, while I deny the truth of the one body of Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 4. There's no way. I warn every Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterian and denominational-minded person that watches this tape or listens to the audio tapes. And like it or not, they're going to face God with fear and trembling. I know a man right now up in Alabama who several years ago said, Brother Moore, if I believed as you do, the King James Bible was the Word of God, I would believe doctrinally as you do. Yet that man today is the pastor of a Baptist church, and that man stresses the fact that he believes the King James Bible is the Word of God, having learned so since he made that statement. But he does not abide by that thing that he told me at that time. In fact, he's denominational-minded right now. He need walk with fear and trembling today, because he's got to face that work that he's performing today. He's got to face that outward performance of truth that is in him, or else deceit that is in him. He's got to face it at the judgment seat of Christ. There's no avoiding it. This fearing trembling is a very severe thing in the passage. And again, I repeat that it has to do with an attitude. It has to do with a frame of mind. Fear God. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Turn back, please, to Isaiah chapter 66. And by the way, Dr. Ruckman has a good reference here along this line. To condemn the people who put out the bad translations, Dr. Ruckman he'll get on with this thing about fear, you know. In Isaiah chapter 66, notice verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That is, then, the man that is poor and of contrite spirit would have the mind of Christ within him. That's exactly the attitude that Christ had. The attitude, in other words, when he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, obviously, he's talking about an attitude of mind. Well, Jesus Christ was a lowly of mind. He was a contrite spirit, and so forth. Look in verse 5. Isaiah 66, verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you and cast you out for my name's sake said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. And I believe that that has a greater application than just Israel. I believe it has an application where I'm referring to right now. I believe that these Baptist, Methodists, and Presbyterians that are saved hear the word of the Lord, but they don't tremble at his word. They don't abide by his word. They abide by the tradition of the elders of years gone by. And the Lord one day is going to appear unto our joy and our happiness and so forth, and we're going to be glorified, and they're going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, for they did not work out in their lives physically before other people that truth of the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one, and so forth and so on. Work out your fear, your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul had this attitude in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said to the Corinthians, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, but I came with fear and with trembling. It has to do with an attitude. My attitude is that I'm to work out in my physical life the truth that is there. I'm to perform it in my life with fear and trembling, understanding that I must face my works at the judgment seat of Christ. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Well, God works in you. There's no doubt about that. Notice this work of God in chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it. Notice, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is, he's going to change our vile bodies and make them like unto his glorious body, as in Romans chapter 8. This truth is in Ephesians chapter 3. Look back in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now there's God working within you. Now verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, that power that worketh in us is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is working in us. And for a man to say, well, I can't see the truth, is a denial of the truth. For instance, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he said that the Lord has delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, then I find a great truth in all this then. In other words, I am to perform willingly in my life the truth that is there as God works within me. God is not working within me against my will. God, in other words, I am not in darkness that I can't see. God has delivered me from the power of darkness. If I want to see, I can see. Therefore, if I don't see the truth of the one body, it is because I close my eyes and harden my heart and close my ears to the truth as I listen, as I read the Word of God. He said, "Work out, it is God that worketh in you." Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The word of God, as I receive it and hide it in my heart, that word works out in my life as I permit it to do so. Therefore, if I have received the truth of Ephesians chapter 1, the truth of Ephesians chapter 2, the breaking down of the middle wall of partition, the truth of the one body of chapter 4 and so forth, if I have received that truth and believe that and believe it means what it says and allow God's Spirit in me now to work, He will perform out in my life that truth that is there. God will work. It is God that works in you. Now notice, according to both the will and to do His good pleasure. Notice His good pleasure. Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm on solid ground here, there's no doubt about this. Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." And a man can't say that he's walking without blame when he intentionally denies the truth that is in the book. That is the breaking down of the middle wall of partition between two bodies of believers at Ephesus. And they both became one in Christ, and they are to love one another as brethren and meet together with one another as brethren and strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. They are not walking without blame. Now verse 5, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." In other words, it is God's pleasure then that I perform out in my life that truth that is in the Word of God. As the Spirit of God works in me, He will give me the power and the grace to work it out in my life. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 and notice in verse 9. Ephesians 1 verse 9, "of having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him." There is no doubt about it. There is one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and it is God's good pleasure that men today see that truth and walk in that truth in this life. It is a doctrinal thing, and that doctrine is that doctrine of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, the one body. Now please observe the contrast. Look at the contrast to this. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," watch now, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Just as the Spirit of God is working out the truth that I believe, the spirit of the devil works out the disobedience in the children of disobedience. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, and by the way, they have, just as I have to yield myself unto the Spirit of God, God that worketh in you, as I have to yield myself unto that, willingly give myself to that, they have to yield themselves unto the spirit of the devil. in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Hold to the passage now, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you're not able to bear, yet neither yet now are you able. For you're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling," now watch it closely, "have given themselves over." Notice their free will. They didn't have to do it. They willingly have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Well, I believe that he's talking about lost people in the passage. And yet, I see the devil working in the lives of saved people. Turn, please, to 1 Timothy and look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Well, then I believe there are preachers today that are saved. These saved men of God have given themselves over to seducing spirits that are working within them. Now, there is a salvation from this apostasy. Go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Well, there is no doubt in my mind about it. There are saved men today that have, they are being led by the spirit of the devil, and they're not performing out in their lives today the truth that is written by Paul in Romans 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. But instead, they're being seduced by doctrines of devils, and as in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, "Do all things without murmuring and disputings," and they're not. They are disputing, and that is a denominational situation. In other words, they believe in denominationalism, stand in denominationalism, walk in it, talk in it, and so forth, as in the book of Corinth. Look in the church at Corinth. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." We cannot all say the same truth, the same words, rightly divided, and be divided physically. If we say and stand for the same words of the Word of God rightly divided, we will physically stand for the same things in this life. We're to work out in our lives, perform in our lives, this truth without disputing, without grumbling, and so forth and so on. And this reminds me of the children of Israel in the wilderness. They were saved, and I believe that a comparison to all this would be in the book of Hebrews. They were saved out of the land and got out in the wilderness. It's as if we're in the wilderness today. The physical body, were representing the wilderness and the Gentiles around us. And these people got out there and they wanted the things of the past. There have been people that have been saved out of denominationalism, and yet they look back on that denominational organization and they want it in their lives today. And so They do just like the people did in the wilderness. They murmur and they dispute and they argue and they bellyache and they gripe every step of the way. And they set themselves in contrast to the people who believe the Word of God rightly divided. Well, you that are listening to my voice, God said unto you, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're going to have to face your physical works at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to have to give an account for them there. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And it's God that works in you, so there'll be no excuse for not doing it. You're to perform it in your life, and you're to do these things without murmurings, without disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, and so forth. We're going to stop here for today. We're going to take up back in Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15, next week, Lord willing. Right now, let's take a break.